My dear sisters and brothers in Christ, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. That's how John greeted the churches in Asia, and what better way for us on this beautiful afternoon to greet one another. We, who together are the missionaries and the teachers and the pastors and those who have become that very thing, the kingdom of priests, to bring glory to our God and to our Father. It is always a thrill and an honor to stand among the people of God with the Word of God, and nothing more thrilling than to be with you on this day. You who have heard clearly the call of Jesus Christ to come, to follow. I often wonder how it happened on that Galilean beach that day when Jesus called out to those first ones to come and to follow. Do you remember those words from Matthew chapter 4? As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed him. "Follow me," they did, and so did you, and so are you. Do you remember how it happened? When it happened, when you heard clearly that call from Jesus to follow him, when you looked into the very face of God? Because I don't think anybody can follow Jesus without looking clearly into his face. Some years ago, my wife Carol and I were visiting our daughter who was living and working in France, and she took us to a cathedral in Chartres, France. Maybe some of you have been in that cathedral. And all around inside of there are works of art depicting Bible scenes. And I was walking along and trying to figure out the various works of art and how they fit into Scripture, and I got stumped by one of them. And I was standing there staring at this. It was two figures, one lying on his back and another kneeling over him. And a tour guide came by. And the tour guide, when he finally got around to English, explained what this was. He said, "This is God at the moment that he was creating Adam. And you see Adam lying now, having been formed out of the dust of the earth. And God is kneeling over him, breathing into him the first breath of life." And of all the times I have read that story in Scripture and talked about that, I did not have an image of God creating that man, breathing life into his man. But more importantly, when Adam opened his eyes for the very first time, he was looking right into the face of God. The very God that created me, the very God that breathed the breath of life into you, the very God that in the water of baptism made you his own dear child, put his name on you, claimed you to be his own. And then he set you apart, called each one of you in this room today. Some he ordained, loves us all, and you love him, and you promised to follow him wherever he leads. I remember on April 10, 1960, Palm Sunday, the day of my confirmation, standing down in the church basement with eight other boys and girls, with my white confirmation robe and my carnation. And as we were getting ready to go upstairs, my pastor handed to each of us a little card on which were questions that he was going to ask us and the answers. And we had gone over these a number of times during our confirmation instruction, but I tell you, I was nervous. And I was very grateful that he handed to me that card. Because after the public examination up in the front of the church, I can see some smiles. You remember that moment, don't you? Then came time for the confirmation, and we stood and he asked us the questions on the card. And I can still remember having my card in front of me, trying not to read from it, but I was still shaken. And the last question he asked, do you remember the last one? Will you follow Jesus all of your life, even to death? And I said yes, along with the others in my class. And then I put that card in my catechism book, and after the events of Palm Sunday, stuck my catechism book on the shelf where it remained. And a couple of years later, I was wondering, am I really a Christian? I was wondering, am I really destined to spend eternity in heaven with God? And I got out my catechism book because that was the only place I knew to look. And I found that card that years before I had stuck in there after April 10, 1960. And I read through those questions again, and I got to that last one. Will you follow Jesus all of your life, even to death? And I said, yes, one more time. And I believe it was in that moment when I said, yes, Lord, that it went from come and follow me now to this point, and I will make you, I will make you a fisher of men. And it was in that moment that I knew that God had set me apart. It was in that moment that I knew clearly I had looked into the face of my Savior, and I will follow you, Lord Jesus, wherever you lead me. You might recall Luke's account of this same story. And when Peter looked into the face of Jesus after Jesus said, "I will make you a fisher of men." And Peter knew that he was looking right into the face of God. And he said, "Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man." He knew who he was just as surely as you and I this day know who we are. And Jesus Christ said to him, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God in Jesus Christ has taken care of your sin, taken care of every evil thought, of every word, of every misdeed, whether intentional or unintentional. The blood of Jesus Christ covers you. The very God that in the water of baptism put his name on you, buried you with him. And when Jesus came forth from that grave on Easter morning, he had you in tow. He knows you. He knows me. And still he says, "Come, follow me. I will make you." And he did, and he does, and he will. And he said, "This is where we're going. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." Is that who you're following? You know, there have been others. The Bible tells us there were some who said, "Lord, I want to follow. That's what I want to do. But first, let me do this." And Jesus said, "Here, let me explain it to you. The birds of the air, the birds of the air have a place to make a nest, and foxes have a hole to sleep. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And I know that you know that, and you're still here. I think about you. I think about the commitment of your life. I think about the places that our Lord God has taken you and the places yet that he has in store for you. And I rejoice with all of us today that the Creator of the universe has counted us worthy to be that kingdom of priests that touch the lives of people with the good news that our sins are taken away by the grace of God. We are saved by the grace of God. He's counted us worthy to go with him to accomplish his purpose. And I know that my life hasn't been any different from your life. There's been times of struggle and times of question and times of doubt. At the ball game last night, sitting around talking with some of you, I heard one say, "You know, the Lord has privileged me of remembering the good things in my ministry, the good things that happened in our household and the congregations that we served." And we know full well that there's been plenty of other things as well. I'm reminded of those words of St. Paul in the very beginning of 1 Corinthians. I hearken back to my days here on this campus and those campuses that went before this one. Remember these words? "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It's because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. In 1973, my wife and I left this campus. We were assigned to a parish, St. Mark Lutheran Church, Elko, Nevada, as a worker priest. You go for no salary, which I did gladly. And it was the greatest blessing in my life. And we got to know the people in that part of the world and in that parish. And along the way, The Lord permitted me to buy an old Grapes of Wrath S10 four-wheel drive Chevy pickup truck. And we loved to pile the kids into that pickup truck and drive around out in the high desert. And a couple hours outside of town where the roads weren't paved anymore, we found an old ghost town. And our little kids just loved to play there, and we loved to play there. The Humboldt River kind of flowed through there on the few seasons of the year when there was water in it. And the railroad tracks came by there. And there was a big tunnel that the train tracks went through to get across the mountain, to go through that mountain. And it was the kind of tunnel that wasn't built straight through. I don't know why the engineers had it. So when you stood in the mouth of the tunnel, you couldn't see the light at the other end. And we would stand at the beginning of that tunnel, and I know the first time we were there, I had my little son's hand, and we started to walk in there, and I got about six steps into that tunnel, and I stopped, because you all know Indiana Jones? You know who he is? Well, Indiana Jones and I share this. I hate snakes. And I knew that as surely as I walked into that tunnel, I was going to be bitten by a rattlesnake and die right there in that tunnel out in the desert of Nevada. So we didn't go too far into that tunnel. But every time we went, we'd throw some rocks and listen to them echoing. And one day my son said, "Dad, listen." And I was listening for the echo of the stone that he just threw. And I waited, and he touched my hand, and I could hear whistling. And it got louder. And pretty soon, here came a man out of the tunnel. And we talked, introduced ourselves, and he said, "What are you guys doing?" And I said, "Well, we like to come and play here. What are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I live on the other side of the tunnel." I said, "Really?" And he said, "Yeah." And he had some letters in his hand, some envelopes. I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I have a buddy that comes from town." We were a couple of hours from town. And he comes a couple of times a month, and he brings my mail, and I put these under the rock over there, and he picks them up, and he mails them for me. And he should be by one of these days. "Would you like to come and see where I live?" So we held hands and walked through the tunnel. And as we got halfway through, we could see the light at the end of the tunnel. On the other side was this beautiful meadow right in the curve of the river where this man lived. And it was a beautiful place. Satan would have us believe that there are so many times in our life when the struggle, because you got to know this, my friends, if you don't know it already, and I suspect you do, everything that you do is contrary to what Satan wants you to do. And he is going to try everything to destroy your ministry. He's going to try everything to have you be afraid. Well, know this. We have a Savior who walked through that tunnel before us. And he walked through there so clearly, and he takes us by the hand. He says, come on, follow me. There's nothing to be afraid of. Satan won't hurt you. He won't stop you. Don't let him do it. The first word you heard was come, and I will make you fishers. And you hung in there long enough to hear your Savior say to you, go and make disciples. There's going to be one more word one day, and I long for that word. Welcome, good and faithful servant. Come and inherit the kingdom that has been set apart just for you. The drum major steps proudly because he knows who is behind him. And your Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly who's behind him because he said to you, come, follow me. And you did, and you are, and you will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.